And I want to thank you all publicly. I want to thank you all corporately. I want to thank you all individually. I want to thank you all for all of your prayers for me. And so the Bible says, rejoice with them that rejoice. How many will rejoice with me by a hand clap to the Lord? Praise the Lord. It's a little different sitting down trying to speak, but I've done it before a few times, and it's the Word of God that's important, not the position of the preacher or the speaker. There's a man in this book. There's a man in this book. I'd like to help us find him. Praise the Lord. Okay? We'll start right in and start with John chapter 5. St. John chapter 5. St. John chapter 5, verse 39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Can you imagine what those Jews had been saying and doing? They had been searching the Scriptures because they knew all about Messiah. They knew all about Jehovah God. They knew all those things. Sure, they did. But they were a little overconfident. Don't we have a lot of people in the world today that are too confident in their denomination? Huh? They're reading the Bible, but there's a man in there. They haven't found the man. They've just found a few words about the man, maybe. But, John 5:39, Jesus said, search the Scriptures. Is he saying, it's imperative that you search the Scriptures? Or, I am making an indicative statement that you do search the Scriptures. I think it's indicative myself, rather than he's commanding him to search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And so they were priding themselves in that. Like I said, just like a lot of people who have a Bible, they even read the Bible, but they don't understand the Bible, and that's what you and I are all about, to teach them the Bible. Then Jesus said, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. And he says, I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another? How many people are there that seek honor one of another? And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you. Even Moses, in whom you trust. What they didn't understand was that Moses was talking about him. They didn't realize that. They were trusting in Moses and his experience on Mount Sinai. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, Moses' writings, how shall ye believe my words? In other words, if you don't believe Moses, you won't believe Jesus. Now, I'd like to go to another story that's probably not politically correct to read in this culture, this generation, but let me read it anyway. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Boy, I'd rather be carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom than have all the gold in this world and have all that that rich man had. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, and just think, someday, many of us may hear those condemning words. Remember? You remember back in your lifetime? You did this, you did that, you wouldn't do this, you wouldn't do that. Remember? Remember. That's what Jesus can say. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Ooh, ooh. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Just think of the people that are going to scream and holler, just like this rich man is. This rich man. And so that there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have who? They have who? Moses. They have Moses. Because if you don't believe on Moses, you will not believe on me, Jesus was saying. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. How come God didn't show mercy on this poor, suffering human being? How come? And he said, then he entered into a debate. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Just think of that. See how important the Word of God is? Yes, Jesus is equally important to the Word of God, and the Word of God is equally important as Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I just had a little thing here, that piece of paper that I thought was really good. The Bible is a literary miracle, a miracle the likes of which no place else on the face of the earth. No editors planned it, and yet there are 66 books written over 60 generations and in 3 languages. It was written in palaces and prisons. It was written in 5 countries: Babylon, Rome, Asia Minor, Greece, and Arabia. Its themes include biography, theology, philosophy, poetry, prophecy, geology, ethnology, romance, adventure, and travel. Yet with all of this diversity, Almighty God brought it together, just as when He stooped down and took some soil and found it into man and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This book, although it was gathered like the grains of dust from the earth out of which man was made, is God breathed, and it is alive. This book is alive. I'll bet you right now you'd like to lift your Bible up to heaven and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for my Bible. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for his word. Now, go a little deeper. Jesus is in every book in the Bible. In Genesis, and some of you have seen this, Genesis, he is the seed of the woman. Exodus, he is our Passover lamb. Leviticus, he is our great high priest. Numbers, he is the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Deuteronomy, he is the prophet like unto Moses. Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. Judges, he is our judge and lawgiver. Ruth, he is our kinsman redeemer. 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. Kings and Chronicles, he is our reigning king. Ezra and Nehemiah, he is the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. Esther, he is our Mordecai. Job, he is our ever-living redeemer. Psalms, he is our shepherd. You would know that, wouldn't you? The Lord is my shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he is our wisdom. And I could go on and read all through the 66 books of the Bible. What my point is, Jesus said, every page you turn, every chapter you read, every sentence you write, I am there. This is my word. This is me in print. And it's too bad that more people don't understand that, because it's really funny to me how so many people will read the newspaper and believe it, but they'll read the Bible and question what it says. Isn't that strange? I think there's something wrong with the brains of a man. I saw a note of mine here, and it says, this is from 1971. That's when I started pastoring Pentecostal Assembly. I wrote to myself, JT, teach your church, your young people, so strongly and clearly and completely that any one of them could breeze through the Bible courses at any one of our Bible schools. And then I said, do it now. And I know you'd approve of my first staff of teachers. Hallelujah. Now let me just talk to you a few minutes about how I study the Bible. I like what one man said to me. He said, what gives me faith, I think, is in the Bible, is that I don't have faith in any other thing. Pretty cute. Okay. And how many of you have ever heard say, don't read the Bible, you'll never understand it? Oh, and how about those mysteries? Oh, that's a mystery. You know, they talk about the book of Revelation as a mystery. The Godhead is a mystery. Well, wait a minute. What does Matthew 13 say? He says, it's given unto you to understand the mysteries. All we need to do is study those mysteries. Study a little more. God is there with his Holy Spirit to read them, to reveal them to us. I think that some of us probably we'd rather read something else. We'd rather do something else. I don't know. But I've heard people say, don't read the Bible, you'll never understand it. And there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And I think there is a vast difference in such studying the Bible to looking for things that will prove that you are right. Instead of finding what is right, they'll try to prove that they are right. That's not the right attitude. So there's a vast difference in studying the Bible for proof of what I already believe than in studying the Bible to discover what to believe. And I think I have an advantage over maybe scores of people, maybe multitudes of people, because I'm kind of simple-minded. When I read it in the Bible, because God saved me and He told me that He would show me His way, I'm just this deliriously happy because I believe it. I really believe it. Amen. I don't even have to see a miracle to believe. I believe it because He told me I was safe in believing it. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So, my first step in studying the Bible is to read it and simultaneously believe every word I read. Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist, was confronted by a person with a question about the scripture. "Mr. Moody, would you explain this scripture verse to me?" Mr. Moody answered, "I'm sorry, I can't." "But you do understand it, don't you?" Mr. Moody said, "No, I'm sorry, I really don't understand it." The stranger continued to question Mr. Moody. "Well, Mr. Moody, what then do you do with this verse?" Moody said, "I believe it." That's the place I wish everybody here was in. When you read it, you believe it. You simultaneously believe it because it's the Word of God. It's the truth. Amen. Amen. Then, I'm in 11:32 of John. "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see." John 11:35, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. "Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him." And that's the reason Jesus wept. It wasn't because they didn't believe. No, Jesus is pretty smart, isn't he? Pretty wise. "Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave." It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" You read it and believe it. Hear it from Jesus and believe it. Praise the Lord. The world trying to sound intelligent, and they try to sound so scientific. They say to us religious people, they say, "Show me and I'll believe." I don't know how many people that I've opened that up to in the Bible and said, "Let me tell you what God said. Right here it is." "Well, where's that?" I said, "It's right here. Let me read it. Let me read it to you." And Jesus said, in my translation, which is very easily understandable, that you say, if I show you, you'll believe. I say, if you believe, I'll show you. And that's the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And about this time would be a good time to say, you know, people that like to argue, they're usually Baptists or Lutherans or Catholics or Presbyterians or all any of the other hundreds of religions, and even Pentecostals. I don't argue. I don't like to argue the Word of God. because I understand that there are no Pentecostal Bible verses. And there are no Baptist Bible verses. There are no Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist. There are no Episcopalian scriptures. Believe this, there are no oneness scriptures in the Bible. And there are no Trinitarian scriptures in the Bible. And I got it down here in big letters, black and white, so I wouldn't miss it. There are only holy scriptures. No Pentecostal, no Baptist, none of the other. And brother, I'll tell you, when you understand that and get that in your heart and your mind and your intelligence and your brain, you won't argue. You'll just win people. Praise the Lord. So there are only holy scriptures. There are no, like Brother Bennett says, I kind of lost some of you there. Maybe some of you. How many of you thought there were some oneness scriptures in the Bible? No. Holy scriptures. Thou art holy. Thou art one. Praise the Lord. Amen. The holy scriptures are for one and all. You might limit Catholics. There's a Bible, a Baptist, or whatever. No. I love prophecy. I don't understand it all, but I sure do love prophecy. And I like to tell people why we have prophecy. Prophecy, now Jesus spoke for himself. He said in John 13:19, now I tell you before it come, I tell you before it come, that would be prophecy. Prophecy is something told before it happens. And Jesus says, I tell you before it happens, so then it was when it does happen, you will believe that I can do that. That I am God. That I can tell the future from the backside. Okay? Then he said in John 14:29, now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. What are we trying to do? We're trying to bring people to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah 41:22-23. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. This is the prophet saying. God speaking through the prophet. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that ye may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it altogether. 42:9 of Isaiah. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Wow. Just think. The Redeemer is coming. And these prophets are preparing Israel, preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. And then when he comes, he says the same thing. How could anybody miss it? Woo! Hallelujah. 46:9-11. You know what book I'm in. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. There's nobody that can do what I can do. Nobody can tell the future. You know, and that's one of the most vital things when you study witnessing and so on. You understand that God can do this and they won't even look into it and read some of those prophecies and verify them or count them lost. No, they can't do it. They don't do it. Okay. 45:21. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. 46:9-11. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. And I'm being bothered here. I got an image coming to my mind. I just saw a newspaper in a glass sales stand, and it was Gene Dixon. Gene Dixon. Did anybody see that? Gene Dixon. How many remember Gene Dixon? Yeah, she's the one that could tell the future. Boy, I wouldn't want to trust my salvation on her understanding of the future. But anyway, here she is, and she has a 80% correct batting average. 80%. She is the one that foretold John F. Kennedy's murder, right? If you remember that. And so he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. But boy, she's wrong. You know, she was wrong. I don't know how old she is now, but she's old enough to know better. I would think. Calling a ravenous... No, he says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. You know, it doesn't matter what the kings of this world mean or want to do. It doesn't matter. God says, I will do all my pleasure. I don't care one bit about your pleasure. I will do all my pleasure. Because your pleasure may be filthy and wrong. My pleasure will be pure and right. Amen. And then he says, calling the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. But you know, I got so much more here. I could go on all night. You've been all through compound probabilities with me, haven't you? Amen. Sister Lanza, reference to your husband. He was a mathematician. I wish I could have spent semester after semester with him. Really. But I did get compound probabilities to him before he died. And when I see something good, I like to have it verified. I like to have it verified by qualified people. And your husband certainly was qualified, and he set me at ease on that one. I didn't have to doubt that one at all. All right. Praise the Lord. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Many attempts have been made to destroy the Holy Bible and are still being made. But they can't destroy it. You knew that. They can't destroy it. Why? Why can't anyone destroy the Bible? Jesus said, they can't do it. I won't let them. Right? And this gospel, I'm just trying to build up faith in the Word of God in every one of us. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. And I put ad lib in here, and only then. Look at all these prognosticators out there, you know. Mm-hmm. And then in John 24:35, further on in the chapter, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We can like to get saved any way we want, but it's written. You don't have a choice. It's his way or no way, right? And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, I love my Bible. I love the truth. I just love it. Praise God. You're never at the mercy of some unsaved college professor. Never, never, never. I want to tell every one of you tonight, you know enough right now to baffle any college professor in the world. All you have to say is, once I was blind, now I see. Right? Oh. And don't shortchange this book. This book will do it. There's a man in this book. There's a man in this book. And he's spooking all unbelievers, driving them crazy. They don't know what to do. Have confidence in the Word of God. Please have confidence in the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my words. Never, never, never pass away. Not one. Wow. What a writer. What an author. What a finisher of our faith. Oh, man. You don't know how bad I want to run these aisles. Whew. Close your eyes and think I am. Make believe I am. Oh, praise God. 1 Peter 1, 23, 24, 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All you can say about the greatest man that's ever been born into this world, but is not saved, all you can say is he was born of corruptible seed. And he needs to be born down south, born again. But we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Don't cast your Bible out. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. No wonder I read it like it's going out of style. Maybe, well, no wonder I read it daily. No wonder I study it all the time. I'm not behind the pulpit anymore. I'm not pastoring and preaching as a pastor anymore. But I study my Bible every day. Don't I, honey? I'm crazy about this book. Nothing like it. There's nothing like it. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which is by the gospel preached unto you. And I'll skip some more. Another lesson that I learned, I don't know, 61 years ago, down in Bible college. A little statement, Brother Coote said to us students. He wrote it down in our first class. He said, and he had this rough one. He said, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. That's the truth. That's the truth. Because they can't find a contradiction in the Bible. You know why they can't find one? Because there aren't any. I've never found a contradiction in the Bible. I'd like to bring some of them that they have accused of, I mean, have considered contradictions, but they're not. Okay. Here's a problem with a lot of people. I want to tell you this, that a man came to me one time, and he said, he was very sincere, how can I read the Bible without my mind wandering? I said to him, why is it that when this certain young lady talks to you, you give her your undivided attention? And he simply answered, because we're in love. And I said, son, you just answered your own question. Right? When you love this book, then you can tell me you love the Savior. When you tell me you love this book with all your heart, then you can tell me you love the Savior with all your heart. But if you don't love this book with all your heart, I have reason to doubt whether you love Jesus with all your heart. This is the way I talk to myself. Okay, everybody understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. So when a Christian is in love with Jesus, he automatically loves have communion with Him. He automatically loves to go in the precious drawer and pull out those old love letters. Huh? This is a love letter to you. This is a love letter to me. That's all I find in there. Jesus on every page, He's just saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, if you only knew how much I love you. Oh, Lord, can I take a stab at it? You went to the cross and you showed your love to me. You manifested your love to me. And I just feel that comforting spirit come all over me because He loves you. He loves you. If you doubt it, read it again. And if you still have a doubt or two, read it again and again and again. Does He know where I am? Does He know about my problems, my heartaches, my trials? Oh, yes, He does. Yes, He does. Does He still love me? Yeah. If I treated some people the way I have treated Jesus, I'd probably be in the ground. You know? He's got patience. He's got love. He has mercy. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. I know them and they know me. Praise the Lord. So, if you want to read the Bible without being easily distracted or getting groggy or sleepy, just develop a love relationship with Jesus. Really. How many love Jesus tonight? I believe you. I believe you. And I encourage you. I encourage you to read the Word and deepen that love relationship. Isn't that why I say no man loves Jesus more than he loves Jesus' Word? Who's on the telephone? Oh, it's just Jesus. Oh, tell him I'll see him later. Talk to him. Maybe next week we can get together. That's not the way you would answer it. If my wife answered the telephone and said, honey, it's Jesus, it really is. I know I'd burst into tears. I mean, if things like this were possible, then I'd say, I know why he's calling me. He's telling me he's coming. He's coming for me. Be ready. And he's telling us that over the telephone to glory all the time. Be ready. I'm coming. I'm coming for you. Do you have any personal letters from someone you love? Have you? My wife will let me. I'll bring a stack of hers to me over. Oh, my. Honey, you still love me, and I still love you, and I'm so thankful that you got me and I got you. Do you read that letter and then toss it? Put it in the fire? No. You read it over and over again and again. One last statement here. Of course, some of my last statements can wait a little bit. I'll make a bold statement. And I love making this bold statement. It isn't the message that needs to be reduced to man's understanding. It is the man, the reader, you know, that needs to be spiritually enlightened that he might understand this spiritual book. Right? Illustration? I don't like that King James Version of the Bible. I can't understand it. Well, go back to school. I can't understand what thee means and what ye means and what thou means. Go back to school. The King James Version of the Bible is not the problem. Old English is not the problem. If so, when in the world are they going to get around rewriting and updating Shakespeare? Hello? Is this any more harder to understand than... Okay. I'll leave you with two scriptures. John 15:16 and Luke 24:45. Jesus asked in Matthew 15:16, are ye also yet without understanding? I think he was chiding them. Are ye also yet without understanding? Then in Luke 24, he says, then opened he their understanding. I like those two scriptures as a combination. Really? Because it gives me a prayer. It gives me a valid prayer. I read the book of Revelation and I read other things and I say, Lord, you don't have to chide me. I'll admit it, Lord. I don't understand this. And then I use the other scripture and I say, would you please open my understanding? Will you please open my understanding? Uh-oh. It always happens. Things come to you here. Then it seems to me like he points out, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, uh-oh, is that why I don't understand? Because I didn't receive it? And if I will hide and hide my commandments with thee, am I hiding his commandments with me? Am I? Do I have an inclination toward wisdom? Am I inclining my ear to wisdom? Am I applying my heart to understanding? Oh, Lord, that's quite an assignment. Maybe if I took a break here and caught up on some of this, you'd reveal to me this phrase, or this scripture verse that I'm having a little trouble understanding. But he's not done. I go back and he says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. You better sharpen your pickaxe. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For my son, I can just hear him say to me, if you bypass this, you're going to bypass my revelation. You're going to bypass my knowledge. Now, we're talking about beyond the simple things, you know. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. And if he doesn't give it to you, you don't have it. That's the truth. If you don't get it, no wonder we got so much confusion in theology today in the world, so many denominations. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Would you stand? I can't say stand with me because I don't stand very well and I don't run the aisle.